As we continue looking at the life of Abraham, on Sunday mornings, we're breaking away from Genesis in order to look at the overview that the writer of Hebrews affords us, specifically looking at verses 8 through 16 that we read earlier from Hebrews chapter 11. We read a little bit more to get the context of Hebrews 11, the emphasis on faith. You can see also the writer is taking a chronological look. If you've been here for all of the Genesis series, we have looked at Abel and Enoch and Noah there on the pages in the early chapters of Genesis. And the writer of Hebrews will continue taking a chronological swipe. For the most part, it's chronological. He breaks it up there towards the end. But looking at lots of Old Testament saints, it's not just a catalog, like a Rolodex of all of these people in the Old Testament were Christians, but it's more an essay offered to us on the nature of biblical faith. And it is presented to us using the argument of the examples of the lives of these Old Testament saints. In order to adequately or rightly understand biblical faith, we must see faith in action. Faith has a real effect on those who believe. Jamie preaching through 1 John recently, it's clear those who say that they love God but do not act like it or hate their brother actually do not love God. They are a liar. We must see these Old Testament saints, men and women who loved God, we see them in action, the choices that they were making. So when we look back, we don't see still shots, snapshots of their life, but we see short video clips of what they were impacted by and how they responded in the different situations. Of all of the people in Hebrews chapter 11, there's one primary thing that every single one of them have in common. They put their complete confidence in God. That is, they took God at His word and arranged the entirety of their lives accordingly. That is living by faith. Last week we looked at Abraham and some of his continued failings to apply the faith that he had. Asking the question about ourselves, are we applying and appropriating the faith that God has given us? And the thrust is very similar, again, with this text. We're seeing all of these individuals in Hebrews chapter 11. For our purposes this morning, we're seeing Abraham specifically, Sarah a little bit, but primarily Abraham. He put his confidence in God. Now, if we look at a single failing, we could easily become despondent and discouraged and say, how could I ever measure up? If Abraham fails, and he's the father of our faith, how could I ever make it? What hope do I have? But when we look at the whole of Abraham's life, when we don't look at a snapshot, but more a short video clip, then we see that, yes, he fell, but he didn't wallow. He picked himself up and he dusted himself off. He repented. He fixed his eyes on Jesus again and continued on his way. That's what faith does. What is faith? I've titled this morning, By Faith, Abraham. That's the first three words, the first phrase in chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham. What is faith? I hope that we'll leave convinced that faith is at least these three things. It is adhering to the promises of God, depending on the Word of God, and remaining faithful to the Son of God. That's what faith should look like. If you say you're a Christian, you should be adhering to the promises of God, depending on the Word of God, and remaining faithful to the Son of God. That's what's expected. This is not for the maturest of the mature. These are for the infants in Christ. We read his word, we see his promises, we put our hope there, we depend on him and what he's written to us, and we seek to remain faithful, whatever it takes, to him and to his son. Oftentimes when considering what something is, we're asking the question, what is faith? It's helpful to point out what it is not. Faith falls into that category. Faith is not a basic nod to a set of biblical truths, right? If we put a list of biblical truths up here, there is only one God. God exists in three persons. God is eternal. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus died on the cross for sinners. He was raised again on the third day. He's coming again. If you say, yes, I believe that's true, there is no evidence that you have faith. Faith is not a basic nod to a list of biblical truths. Rather, it is a regulating principle of life. Faith causes us to regulate our life according to those truths. Those are all true things, and all Christians believe those things. However, the list of biblical facts, simply giving mental acquiescence to them, is not faith. Faith regulates our lives day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, season by season, year after year. We apply the truth of God's word to every aspect of who we are. It is not just the initial beginning. It's not just saying, yes, I believe, or yes, I think I have faith, but it is daily hoping, weekly trusting in God alone as our all in all. Faith, biblical faith, is responding to the revealed word of God. Faith is responding to the revealed will of God. God says it, we believe it. That's good. It's insufficient. God says it in his word, we believe it with our whole hearts, and we regulate our lives accordingly. That's biblical faith. Is it all that important? We're not splitting hairs with this theological concept of faith. Rather, this is baseline, foundational, non-negotiable stuff. If you have your Bibles open still, look back just before chapter 11 begins, at the end of chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. Is faith all that important? But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The writer of Hebrews is quoting God from the Old Testament. Verse 39, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. We are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Is faith important? Absolutely. Why? Why is it important? Because it's the difference between life and death. According to the writer of Hebrews, it's not just the difference in life and death. It's the difference in life and death by destruction. We are not of those who shrink back to destruction. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That is, you suffer the consequences of not responding in faith, of not believing and trusting and repenting of your sins. You suffer destruction, separated from the kind presence of God forever and in the presence of his white hot wrath, which will never ever cease. It comes from an eternal God. Nothing about him will ever cease. He is always the same, never changes. My righteous one will live by faith. Our only hope for life in Christ is faith. And the only other alternative is destruction. Therefore, seeing the lives of these saints, Abraham as well as others, is invaluable for us. Because we gain a biblical definition, not just of faith, but we gain a biblical definition of what a Christian is. By gazing at their lives, by looking at their circumstances, by noticing the decisions that they were making, by watching and learning from how they responded to all the issues of life. By faith, Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. We have the story recorded for us in Genesis. We've been looking at it together week after week. God comes to Abram. He's an idol worshiper. He lives in the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. He's an idol worshiper from a long family lineage of idol worshipers. And God comes to him and says, Abram, leave it all. Leave it all and follow me. Abram, leave it all and follow me, and the whole world will be blessed by you and your family. And you know what? By faith, Abraham did. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Just like that. God spoke to him, and he responded. He left it all and he followed God. He heard God's voice and he obeyed God's call. He trusted God's providence. He lived in light of God's promise. He looked for and anticipated the fulfillment of the promise that God had made. He, along with Sarah, believed God regarding the promise of Isaac. He did not turn back to the land of Ur that he had been called from. He rather desired a better country, seeking after it above all, but above everything else. He was seeking after this promise that God had made for him, one of seed and soil, or of kin and country, of Isaac, and of heaven. Abraham is such a good example for us because he did all of this. Trusting, living, looking, believing, not turning back, desiring. He did all of this, not perfectly, not even close. We've seen that. But yet he did it by faith. I say not perfectly. He lied about Sarah being his sister. He wrongly assumed that Eleazar might be the promised one. He took things into his own hands with regard to Hagar and Ishmael. He laughed when God told him about Isaac. He lied again about Sarah being his sister. He's a good example because he was living by faith, not perfectly, but yet he pressed on, believing God, taking him at his word, stumbling, but not wallowing, dusting himself off, as it were, fixing his eyes again on God and believing him, trusting him. I want to look at three specific things together regarding Abraham's faith. The foundation of his faith, the application of his faith, and the motivation of his faith. The foundation of his faith, verse 8, when he was called, the word of God. The application of his faith, verse 8, obedience. And the motivation of his faith, verses 10 and 14, the looking for, the seeking after the promise. So first, the foundation of Abraham's faith. It was simply this. It's not tricky. It's not hidden. It's abundantly clear. The foundation of Abraham's faith is the revelation of God. The words of the living God that are recorded for us in the scriptures. The foundation of Abraham's faith is the same as Abel and Enoch and Noah. And if we keep reading, it's Sarah and Isaac and Joseph and Moses again and again. If you have faith in the living God this morning, if you have biblical faith, the foundation of your faith is the revelation of God. All other ground is sinking sand. The foundation of Abraham's faith is this: God said. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram. Genesis chapter 15. Twice the word of the Lord came to Abram. Genesis chapter 17, the Lord appeared to Abram and said. Chapter 17, God talked with Abraham, saying. Chapter 17, God said further to Abraham. The very foundation, the rock solid foundation of Abraham's faith is this: God said. It's the word of God. Now, we pose the great potential to explain away the faith of these people that are recorded in the Bible because of our deficient understanding of what biblical faith is. We are tempted to wrongly think in the terms of amounts of faith. Right? We can look at it and say, I don't have that much faith. The Bible doesn't talk about the amounts of faith. It doesn't matter. We think wrongly about it, about the amount, but the amount doesn't matter. We also talk or think unwisely about the quality of their faith. The quality of their faith is irrelevant. Faith from God is a gift, and He gives that same gift to all, to each of His children. So we can't explain away the faith of these Bible characters or great saints of old or people in our lives that we look up to by saying they have a different kind of faith or they have more faith. There's biblical faith and there's unbiblical faith. The only influencing issue with regard to faith, either Abraham's or yours, is its foundation. Is your faith founded on the Word of God? What He has said, is it enough for you? Faith is, as I've said already, responding to the revealed Word and will of God. Our foundation, the foundation of your faith, of my faith, must be the revelation of God Almighty, what He has said. So, question: what is the foundation of your faith? We know the right answer, right? I don't think anyone in here would say the foundation of biblical faith is anything other than the Word of God. But what is really beneath the surface of our lives? Unfortunately, too often the answer to that question is some man-made philosophy, or even worse, our own imagination. What lies beneath the surface of your life? What is the foundation that drives your choices? What are you basing your life on? What affects the decisions that you make day in and day out, week after week, year after year? Honestly, how often, being honest with yourself, can you definitively say that you are actively living by faith in the Son of God who loves you and gave Himself for you? How often can you say that faith in God and His revealed will in the Scriptures is the foundation of all that you do? What is your faith based on? It must be based on God's revelation of Himself, of His holiness, of His righteousness. What is your faith based on? It must be based on God's revelation of who we are as sinners by nature and by choice, separated from Him, our Maker. What is your faith based on? It must be based on God's revelation of us that not only are we sinners, but we're actually so bad that we can do no good. God makes it clear in His Word that our minds are so negatively affected by sin that we can't even understand God. He clearly says, Psalm 14 and Romans 3, no one understands God. Not only are our minds damaged by sin, but our hearts so damaged by sin that we don't even want God. We don't seek after Him. Our wills are so bent away from honoring Him and pleasing Him that we never choose Him above self. We always and only choose what we want. What is your faith based on? God's revelation of Himself? God's revelation of us? God's revelation about the gospel and salvation? Is your faith based on what God has said about how He deals with us? Is your faith based on what God says about salvation, that it's all His working? Is your faith based on these revelations of God, of His word, of His will, of who we are, of what salvation is? Consider Abraham in light of this. His encounter with God. God said, "Come and follow me." And Abraham left everything and he followed God, never turning back. Never. Not because he thought it was a better idea to follow God, even though it was. It wasn't because he liked camping in tents. I mean, I camped out Friday night in a tent. I can't imagine anybody likes that. Abraham didn't turn back because he really didn't like his family anyway, and he was just good riddance. I'm glad I don't have to deal with them anymore. He didn't not turn back because he didn't have anything to lose. He had everything to lose. All he had ever known was on the line. And Abraham left it all. He left everything he knew and he loved and followed because God revealed Himself saying, "Do this." Is that enough for you? For God to say, "Do this and live"? Is your life based on the foundation of God's revealed word? What He says about Himself, about us as sinful men and women, about sin and its offense before His face, about the gospel and forgiveness and salvation for those who trust Him. The only sufficient and adequate and lasting foundation for faith is the revelation of God Himself that He has provided for us in His written word. Not the amount of your faith or the quality of your faith, but God alone. Who He is and what He has done for us in Jesus Christ through the gospel. That's the foundation of Abraham's faith. He was called the Word of God. Secondly, the application of Abraham's faith. When he was called, he obeyed. If faith is, as I've attempted to make clear already, not a basic nod to a set of biblical facts or truths, but a regulating principle of life, then surely this reality will be evidenced in Abraham's life, since he is, according to the Apostle Paul, the father of our faith. Listen to Romans 4. "For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'A father of many nations have I made you.'" So what is the application of faith in Abraham's life? What is the evidence? What's there for us to see in these short video clips of his life? If the foundation of his faith can be summarized simply with the Word of God, the application of that faith can be summarized in Abraham's life to this: obedience to God. Biblical faith yields obedience. Always. Every single time. Obedience is the daughter of faith. And biblical faith is never barren. Abraham obeyed. He went out from the land of Ur. He lived as a foreigner, sojourning in the land of promise. And he died, trusting God still to fulfill the promise that had not yet come to pass. By faith, Abraham left everything. By faith, Abraham lived as a sojourner and stranger. And by faith, Abraham died, looking for that lasting city. From the beginning of his life of faith to the end, he was marked day after day, living by faith in the one who had loved him and given himself for him. He left his family. He left his country. He left his home. He left security. He left his employment. He left everything that God told him to leave. And he set out following hard after God. Now, he didn't just metaphorically leave. He didn't make up in his mind that he was planning to leave. He didn't theoretically leave his family. He really left. He didn't merely plan to leave his homeland and get right up to the edge and then decide, I can see what's been promised. I'll wait here until it comes to fruition. No, he actually left. He didn't just pack his bags and dress for the trip. He actually departed. Faith is not making plans or preparations or remaining in the land of good intentions. Abraham, by faith, heard the word of God and responded in obedience to what God had said. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Not only did Abraham leave that initial response in faith to the call of God, but he also lived as a stranger, a pilgrim, for the entirety of his life. He left everything he knew and loved in Ur, and he never sought to return there to claim what was rightfully his, nor did he ever settle for less than what God had promised him. He followed God, living in tents, never owning more than a burial spot. One old writer said it this way: he made his home on the thin surface of the earth. He never took the time to dig out the footing and pour the foundation. Just a little tent peg. And he was on to the next place, following hard after God in the way that God had said. Abraham lived all his days looking for that city which God had promised, which wasn't even really Canaan. But, Hebrews 12 tells us, it was the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. To myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. This is where Abraham's eyes were fixed. Listen, 100 years of wondering, never seeing, yet always believing. 100 years, 36,000 times Abraham got up in the morning and set his heart on God, to follow him, to trust him in all things. At age 75, Abraham is told that his heirs, his sons and daughters, will receive the promise. At 75, Abraham doesn't have any heirs. This is 25 years before Isaac is born. Abraham believed God. It's 100 years before he dies. 500 years before God makes good on his promise and the descendants of Abraham are given the entirety of the land. How did they wait so long? How did Abraham wait so long, day after day after day? This is where he's such a great example. Because as I mentioned earlier, he's not the perfect example, but he persevered by faith. The same type, the same kind, the same amount of faith that we've been given. It's biblical faith. If you belong to him, you have the faith of Abraham. He clung to the trustworthiness of God. He hoped in the promises of God all the way to the very end. For 100 years. How about you, friend? In the midst of a couple of hard months or three or four difficult days, are you clinging to the trustworthiness of God? Persevering, not perfectly, but really persevering. all the way to the end. Abraham is a wonderful example to us. My notes are completely frozen, so we'll go with backup plan. Like Abraham, is it the same with you? Does God produce persevering steadfastness and clinging to Him? Do you find yourself trusting Him and His Word? Again, not perfectly, but consistently, returning again to Him. The foundation was the Word of God. The application was obedience to God and the motivation of Abraham's faith. How did Abraham wait so long? How did he obey in the midst of it? Verse 10, he was looking for the city which has foundations. He was looking beyond the here and now. He wasn't consumed with the immediate circumstances. His eyes were fixed on something greater, on God. And verse 14. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. He was seeking the country that had been promised. Why was God looking for a city with, why was Abraham looking for a city with foundations? Why was he seeking a country of his own? Why was he so steadfast in his earnestness toward God? Because he was gripped, completely gripped with the awareness that what was laid before him in the promises of God was far better than anything he had left behind. Right? He believed that what was coming was better than what he had. It is extremely dangerous and twisted thinking. It's warped rationale to give up what is best for something that simply doesn't measure up. If you're living for the here and now rather than for the there and then, you're living in a twisted, perverted, warped reality. Are you gripped with this awareness that Abraham had, that the promises of God are better than the present circumstances that he's living within? Are you fully convinced that what God has promised you is better than what you've left behind? Or have you left anything behind? This is the difference between the Christian and the unchristian, between the saved man and the lost man. Are you convinced that what God has promised is better than what you've left behind? The Christian believes God and follows Him all the way to the end. Remember the end of chapter 10? If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The Christian believes God and follows Him all the way to the end because he's convinced that what God has and who God is far superior, far better than anything else, anything this world has to offer. And for 100 years, that's where Abraham found himself. Day after day, I'm looking for something better. I'm living for something more than what's here and what's now. What have your few years said? What about the last year of your life? What has it said? Has it said, I'm living for what's better? Or since you have professed Christ, does your life make the statement, I'm living for what has been promised? I'm looking towards God. Abraham lived and died on the bare promises of God. How could we, who have seen the fulfillment of those promises consider faltering, even in the slightest, in our allegiance to Him? I mean, you can imagine it, planning to go on a trip with the destination is in view. You go over the mountain and you can see the city. The skyline is visible. You can make out different buildings. You're aware, you've heard about it before. I mean, it's hazy at times, a bit overcast. If it's early, there may be some fog. But you know you're in the right spot and you're getting closer and you go around a curve and you see it again and another curve and you can still see it in the distance and over the next hill and you can still see it in the distance. And all your days, you still see it, and you just never, ever arrive. That was true for Abraham. And he still got up every morning and looked forward to what was promised, to the better. You hear about it, but you never actually arrive. Always pointing to it. That's all they had. They died. Verse 13 tells us, all these died, but they died in faith without receiving the promises. But having seen them, they saw them but didn't receive them because faith is spiritual sight. They didn't infer the promises. There was no speculation or intellectual understanding. It was revelation. God had said it, and they were willing to believe it and bank their lives on it. What God had showed them by His words, they were willing to regulate their lives according to those truths. So how can we apply these truths, these realities, to our lives? God has revealed Himself to us in Christ. Right? God revealed Himself to Abraham, calling him to leave Ur for something better. And Abraham obeyed, leaving everything. God has revealed Himself to us in Christ. He's created every one of us. He has stamped His image on us. He has written His kind and gracious law on our hearts. We have been given precious promises. We have seen so many of them fulfilled in the New Testament of our Bibles. Promises have been given and kept that are better and more complete than even Abraham had. We, like Abraham, must leave everything to follow Him. We must put Christ above everything as we follow after Him. The greatest promise for us is that we can be children of Abraham, thus children of God. That's what's held out for us in the gospel. That He said, come, leave this world behind and be children, sons and daughters of mine. The promise that was made to Abraham was concerning his spiritual children, not physical children. The promise was for those who believe. Lineage, therefore, is insignificant, and faith is everything. Faith in God. Consider John 8. They answered and said to Jesus, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to Him, we were not born in fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but He sent me. You are of your father, the devil. We're children of Abraham. Jesus says, if you belong to Abraham, you do the deeds of Abraham. Remember, because Abraham's faith is based on the word of God. And Abraham's faith looked like obedience to God because Abraham was hoping only in God. The Jews, the Pharisees, they come and say, Abraham is our father. And Jesus says, you are actually of your father, the devil. The blessing that was promised to Abraham concerning the whole world was through Jesus Christ. There is no spiritual connection to Abraham apart from Jesus. In John 8, that's what Jesus is pointing out. You have no part of him that you claim because you'll have no part of me. Abraham's children are those with the same faith as Abraham. Abraham's children are those with the same faith, with faith in the same God as Abraham. Abraham's children are those with the same foundation for their faith as Abraham. Abraham's children are those who apply their faith in the same fashion as Abraham. Abraham's children are those who, like Abraham, live as sojourners or pilgrims in this life, looking, longing, seeking after something better, something lasting. Are you a child of Abraham? Is the foundation of your faith the Word of God like it was Abraham? Do you obey the Word of God like Abraham? Have you turned your back on the old way of life like Abraham? Are you actively hoping in something more, something better like Abraham? Are you living as a stranger, an alien in this culture like Abraham? Notice verse 15. If they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. Abraham had ample opportunity to turn and go back. He had 100 years, 36,000 times he could have just gotten up and said, I quit, I'm throwing in the towel, but he didn't. He kept looking up, he kept looking out, he kept looking at the one who had called him, remembering, because his foundation was on the revealed word of God that is always the same and never changing. And the Israelites had 500 years before this promise was fulfilled. And many of them just kept trusting, just kept looking, not perfectly, but in a persevering fashion. Are you turning back? Are you tempted to turn back to the old way of life? Have you left the old way of life? Have you set your heart against the old way of life? Jesus said, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. No one. Not a few, that means not you. No one who, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. If faith like Abraham is present in a life, then the activity or the obedience of Abraham will be present as well. That is, Abraham's children, spiritual children, will act like Abraham. Children of God will act like Christ. Christ-likeness is expected in Christians. You know, it's possible to talk about Jesus and not be a believer. You can listen and hear a lot of talk about Jesus and not be a believer. You can be right on the edge of stepping out and risking it all, bags packed and boots laced, and not be a believer. You can preach and you can teach and you can sing about Jesus, his expectation, the requirements of the journey, and not be a believer. You can appear impressive to everyone around you and not be a believer. If you call yourself a believer, then you must be certain of what God has revealed about himself. You must be certain that what he has revealed about himself is penetrating the entirety of your life and circumstance. That is, you're not just saying, God said it, I believe it. But you're saying, God said it, I believe it. And I am regulating every area of my life in light of these truths as they are in Jesus Christ. Abraham's faith affected his choices to the degree that it influenced generations to come. Why not be so certain that your faith is so incredibly thorough that it doesn't stop with you, that it continues to infect in a contagious fashion those that you come into contact with? that it carries on generationally. The only adequate foundation for faith is the revelation of God, the Bible. The only application of biblical faith is obedience to what God has said in His Word. And the only sufficient lasting motivation for faith, for believing God, is pursuing Him, looking to Him, hoping only in Him. We'll close with these words from the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank You for Your revealed Word that You have preserved and provided it for us. We do pray for the necessary means of grace that we might appropriate it in an obedient fashion, living in light of all that You've said regarding Yourself and regarding us as Your people. God, help us that when we fall, that we might persevere nonetheless, that we might continue pressing into the kingdom, pressing on through this life, keeping our eyes lifted up and fixed on Him, the One who sits enthroned in the heavens at Your right hand. God, aid us in keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the One though whom we have not seen, that we love and believe in. God, we pray that You would continue granting faith to those who've yet to believe, granting repentance to those who've yet to turn from their sin, and granting greater measures of grace to apply those gifts to those who belong to You. In Jesus' name.